Okay, it's getting closer to Sukkis. Very briefly about the Dalet Minim, and then we'll go into the Dinim of sitting in the Sukkah. You need four Minim. Even though this year there's no biblical mitzvah of Lulav, because the biblical mitzvah of Lulav is only the Lekachtam Lachem Bayim Arishin on the first day. Nevertheless, the Chachamim instituted all 7 days. So today, the first day, first day is on Shabbos, so obviously there's no biblical mitzvah. So, nevertheless, you still have the other 6 days where you need to fulfill the rabbinic mitzvah, and you need to make sure the lulav, the esrig, the adasim, the aravis are all kosher, so you need them to buy them by somebody that knows to make sure they're kosher. Now, the minimal height of a lulav is 4 tvachim. The minimal height of the adasim and the aravis have to be 3 tvachim. The minimal heights. Obviously, they could be longer or bigger. Now, according to Halacha, you need to take a minimum of 3 adasim and 2 aravis, which, as they say, normal Jews put the 3 adasim on the right, the 2 aravis on the left, and that's the way they put together the lulav. What's interesting, really, in Halacha, you know, the fact that we tie the adasim and the aravis to the lulav is only what's called hidr mitzvah. It beautifies the mitzvah. Technically, if somebody would take a loose lulav, loose adasim, loose aravis, and an esrig, and just hold the 4 together, they did the mitzvah. It's just nicer, it looks nicer when the lulav has the 3 things tied to it. So many people have those, you know, those holders that hold adasim and aravis. In Chabad, we don't use the holders, we tie the adasim and the aravis to the lulav with a branch from the lulav itself. Not that lulav necessarily, but from a branch of a lulav. Now, according to Kabbalah, even though in Halach it says you put 3 on the right, 2 on the left, 3 adasim on the right, 2 aravis on the left, in Chabad the custom is we put it all around. Meaning, you put 1 arava on the right, 1 arava on the left, and the 3 adasim over the minimum, 3 adasim over the aravis, and you try to cover the aravis as much as possible, and you tie it that way. The Rebbe spoke many times, if possible, people should add to the hadasim, at least 1, 2, or 3, whatever it is, to add to the minimum. But again, minimally, if somebody has 3 adasim to aravis, they did the mitzvah 100%, they fulfilled the mitzvah completely. So then, in fact, it's brought down that the Rabbeim used to change the Adasim and Aravis in the middle of Chol HaMoed. So it depends. If you keep them wet, they usually don't dry up too much. If you keep it in the trunk of your car or in the sun, yeah, you're going to dry up. You're not going to have kosher Adasim and Aravis, which then ideally you need to change during Chol HaMoed. But the evidence would be kosher, but it's really something that should be changed if they wilt and they fall off and they have no leaves left and so on and so forth. Now, ideally, the best time to put the lulav together is Erev Sukkah, in the Erev Sukkah in the Sukkah. That's the best way of doing it, Erev Sukkah in the Sukkah. But any time you put it together, Apidin, it's fine. Now, and you have to be careful because the first day is Shabbos, so you don't want the lulav to dry out with the adasim and aravis. So the din is, you can't put a lulav into water on Yom Tif, but if it was in water, you could put it back into water. In other words, you can't on Yom Tif put a lulav into water if it wasn't into water before Yom Tif, but once it was in water, you're allowed to put the lulav back into the water to keep it moist.
How much water?
As much water as you need, that it's not going to make it black and it's going to keep it fresh. So,
does that mean you put it into as big as you put a plant into a pot?
Some people do it that way. Some people just keep it in a moist towel. Whatever. Everybody does their own ways of keeping it moist.
How is that a problem on
Yom Tov? Well, you can't squeeze it. But just to keep it in a damp towel, a wet towel is not a problem. Especially if you put the water on before. In a practical way, if you take aluminum foil and put it underneath the lulav, okay, then you take a wet towel and put it over so the aluminum foil will keep the moisture in, that it won't evaporate, and it'll stay wet for a longer period of time. Now, when a person benches lulav and esrog, while we're on this, we'll discuss this already. Because the lulav has three, and the esrog is one, right? So the din is, you hold the lulav in your right hand, because that's three of the four. So you hold the lulav in your right hand, you hold the esrog in your left hand. If you're a left-handed person, then you hold the lulav in your left hand, and the esrog in the right hand, because then your left hand is your right hand. Now there's a din that before, you have to make a bracha before you do a mitzvah. Once you did the mitzvah, you can't make a bracha anymore, because you can't say, Hashem ketranu b'mitzvaysav, that Hashem commanded us to do it. If you already did it, you're not commanded anymore. Okay, so the Gemara says, they learned it out from Evel Asiyos, and you need to make a bracha before you do the mitzvah. So if you just put the lulav and esrog together, you already did the mitzvah. So you can't do that before you make the bracha. So we're going to discuss it more again to remind everybody. But when you hold the bench lulav and esrog, what you need to do is hold the lulav itself in the right hand. Some people, many people, hold the esrog upside down. Why? Because if you hold it upside down, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. So what they'll do is, they'll hold the esrog upside down, and they'll make the bracha, the lulav and esrog next to each other, but upside down. And then after they finish the lulav, out in the tilis lulav, and they make the shechianu, they'll turn the esrog right side up. And then they did the mitzvah. But our minig is, we hold the lulav in the right hand, for the first bracha on the tilis lulav. When you start making the shechianu, you pick up the esrog in the left hand, you don't put them together yet. So you hold the lulav, you say, shechshem esvesev esven on the tilis lulav. The first day, Sunday this year, you make shechianu. So you pick up the lul esrog in your left hand. You say, baruch atah Hashem alkeinu melech shechianu v'kimanu v'yianu l'zman hazeh. And then you put it together.
The backbone of the lulav must be facing
us. The front of the lulav has to be facing you. Right.
The mitzvah is
to touch them together. If you hold them separately, you didn't do the mitzvah. No, it doesn't matter. Just hold it in the way you don't drop it. What are you looking at? Right. Everything, the front of the lulav faces you, not the back of the lulav. Huh? Yeah. Right, the shedra, spine. Why should face? No, it's just a fault. Why should hold? But the evidence, if you hold it backwards like that, you'd be yitzer, because not upside down. Yeah. Now, just to discuss one more minute, why certain esregim have pitums? The Israeli esregim have pitums, and the Italian esregim, some have, most don't have. But if it grows without a pitum, see, if a pitum falls off, the esrog is not kosher because it's not complete anymore. If it's not a complete fruit, or complete lulav, or complete hadassim, complete arav, it's not kosher. So if the pitum falls off from an esrog, then it's not complete. But if it never grew with the pitum, like a lot of, most of the Italian esrog can grow without pitums, so then you don't need a pitum. Because then it's not an incomplete esrog. That's the way it grew. It grew without a pitum, so you don't need a pitum.
What about the top of the lulav?
It breaks off. So then, if it's not the first day, but you have a discussion, but you need to, if possible, get a better lulav. But is it better to get with the pitum? It depends how rough, how manhandle it, what is the expression? Manhandle it.
Depends on how it's handled.
If you have a lot of kids, okay, or if you want to do miftzayim to go out to people with bench lulav and esrog, you'd probably be better off to buy an esrog without a pitum. Okay? But there is a story that an elder chassid, the Rebbe used to give out a lulav and esrog to certain people. And this older chassid went to the Rebbe, and he was in the Rebbe's room, he's showing the Rebbe two esrogim. And he asked the Rebbe, what do you think? He was the Rav in the Friedrich Rebbe's time, of the Friedrich Rebbe's house. So he went up to the Rebbe and said, which one do you think I should take? So the Rebbe said, without even looking at them, he says, this one has a pitum, of course he should take it. Okay, but again, you have to get practical. If you have a kids that think it's a hand grenade and will pull it off to throw the grenade, like somebody here in Shul, Yael in Ushpizen, so then you'd be better off not getting, and that's a good epitome. Okay, that's that. Okay,
I have a
what?
How do you know that in the processing, picking, you know, packing, shipping, that the pitum hasn't been broken off?
In the Italian Esregim? As a rule, you would be able to tell if it breaks off. You could tell if it's whole on top and there's no hole in there, on the top, that it would never had one. And if you buy a mezuzah from a non-reputable place?
So you should bring your restaurant to a rav to check?
No, not this rav.
Okay, so the question stands.
You have to buy it from somebody who's reputable, that you trust them, that they bought, that they know what they're doing. Or you could show it to a rav, yeah. I mean, all joking aside, yeah. It's a, you know, he says over here a very interesting statement. You know, he says, because the laws of Esrog and Lulav are complicated, you should show them to a rav to see if they're kosher. That's, what? Hadassim have to be growing three out of the same place. If one is up, one is down, it's called a hadas shaita. Literally means a retarded hadas. It has to go at least the majority of the three tvachim in order to be kosher. The majority of the three tvachim have to be that the three are coming out from the same place on the branch.
Three leaves.
Not three branches, three leaves. Three leaves coming out of the branch.
From one place.
On the same level. If one's higher and one's lower, then it's not good. Here, I mean, I don't know if you could see it, but here's that side, I don't know if you could see it. It's kosher because it's three coming out of one place. And the left side he has what's called Hadda Shaita. It's just a picture of two are coming from one place and the third one's coming from higher or lower. So there is an opinion the Gemara is good, but La Halacha, it's not accepted. What?
Can you say a couple of one-liners about how, like, the importance of how to pick it and everything like that? I mean, you said it last year, like you said.
There's the cleanliness of it, especially on the top third. Should try to be clean. Some people look more on the shape, if it's shaped evenly, you know, if it goes up like a tower. So that, you know, some people look, but the best esrig is if it's clean on top, in the top third, and it's a nice shape. But those esrigim, you pay a lot of money for.
You said last year something about picking it and how someone should spend a certain amount of money. You have these one-liners about how spending money on an esrig is when someone sells it.
The Gemara says that Rav Gamliel spent 1,000 zuz, that Rav Gamliel spent 1,000 zuz. 1,000 silver coins in those days to buy an esrog. Today you have people that will spend $1,500 on an esrog, $2,000 on an esrog. You know, if you want to buy a pretty good esrog, you have to be willing to spend about $100 at least on a pretty decent esrog. Because, you know, otherwise, what? Yeah. What? You can, for $100, you can buy a lot of lemons in Ralph, and the lemons in Ralph's are probably cleaner than the Esrig. But nevertheless, it's not an Esrig.
You're saying the more money spent on Esrog, over $100, the bigger your years will be?
I didn't say that. I said when a person does hidden mitzvah, when a person beautifies a mitzvah, it's a nicer way of doing the mitzvah. But, you know, how much somebody's able to spend, that's their, you know, their ability, their business. But the esrog and lulav, especially on the first day, has to be yours. And therefore you can't borrow somebody's lulav, they have to give it to you as a gift with the intent of giving it back. So then when you give it back retroactively, you owned it at the time you did the mitzvah.
What about
The same thing, they have requirements. That obviously have to have, again, that there's no, sometimes you have like saw edges, rough edges on the side of the leaf, that's not good. It doesn't, even though the Torah says Arve Nochel, it doesn't have to grow by a stream. Today people grow in California, in the backyard, they grow arova trees. You know, it comes out tons and tons of arovas. Yeah. Doesn't have to be next to the, but you have to make sure that the top is complete. It's not broken on top, and the leaves are coming out properly. Yeah,